Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Okay, this is episode 272. We have a great show for you this week. I've got two papers, one by Alphonse Cerza, who's a past grand historian for the state of Illinois, and also the namesake of my Philalethes chapter. And also, I've got a great piece by Brother Chris Streeper, which I will explain a little bit more before we go into it. Before we get started this week, I'd like to mention our show sponsor, MasonicRevival.com. Worshipful Brother Edgar Alejandro has put together some of the coolest and best Masonic regalia, Masonic pins, tie bars, ties, swag, for lack of a better term, that exists. It simply is better than your typical square and compasses repeated over and over again on a tie. It is nice stuff that makes a perfect gift for this Christmas season, even for Hanukkah or any other celebratory engagement you might have in the holiday season. The gifts are very nice in that they come in a range of different prices, so there's something for everybody there on MasonicRevival.com. I highly suggest heading over there. He has been so gracious in allowing us to produce our pins and our other items that fund this show, and he's got some great things on his website, so please do check out MasonicRevival.com and learn more. Sign up for the newsletter. It's always good stuff. I don't get spammed by him or anything. Really nice emails. The only time I get those emails from him are A, if he's running a sale, or B, a new product is coming out and you get first dibs. So please do sign up for that email list. Other stuff in the news this week, we are in the holiday season. So this week, I do need to mention that we may or may not have episodes for the typical two-week dark period of the show. Normally, I do go dark the last 2 weeks of December so that I can spend time with the family and a nice little vacation, even though I don't go anywhere. However, I've put it to the team at Whence Came You, there may be an episode coming out with Brother Adam Thayer. I've left it up to him if he'd like to put something together, and of course I'll produce it and remaster the episode. So we may have something, but we may not. So if we do, cool. If we don't, that's cool too. But just know that we will have that dark period, so don't think that the show's been canceled or anything like that. I will continue to mail out pins as you buy them, so don't fret if you buy during that two-week dark period. It's not like I'm not going to be doing things. I'm just not going to be making the show. I still will be sending out pins and tie bars, money clips, and cufflinks as those orders come in. I did want to mention that if you are trying to get a little bit of your holiday shopping done, and perhaps some of it can be done through the links and the show sponsors, please do so and remember us. That way you're producing the program through your own shopping. Basically, you go through our links, they know where you came from, and they send this show back a few dollars to help us out here and keep those lights on. So again, please check out the WCYpodcast.com, click on support the show, and check out some of our show sponsors. So the first piece I have for you this week is called Our Most Valuable Asset, Friendship, by Alphonse Cerza, Grand Historian for the Grand Lodge, Ancient Free and Accepted Masons of the State of Illinois. Again, like I said, Brother Alphonse Cerza is the namesake for my Philalethes chapter and is a rather interesting gentleman as far as Illinois Masonry goes, a very prolific and great writer. We didn't do a Thanksgiving episode last week. I'm not going to do a Thanksgiving episode this week, but rather touch on somewhat the feeling of the season, this brotherly love, this fellowship that we all seem to have, that Freemasonry seems to have all year long, but the rest of the world seems to only care about 2 months at the end of the year. It is my wish that we carry this forward all year, every year, and not just for these 2 weeks. So if you have friends and family out there who may be thinking about the good times and the red Starbucks cups and the conversations everybody has and the kindness everybody has this time of year, casually drop that fact. Ask them, can we be like this all year? I just think it would be amazing. But without any further ado, let's get into this great paper. Our Most Valuable Asset, Friendship, by Alphonse Cerza, Grand Historian, Grand Lodge of the State of Illinois. Freemasonry has many facets which have attracted men of goodwill of every race, religion, political view, and social position into its ranks throughout the world for many years. Every member has his own individual reason for joining the craft, but generally its chief appeal is the charitable work it does. The philosophy of life taught by the craft with its visible exhibition by Freemasons in their exemplary conduct in the everyday world. All these items are important, but to the non-member who has given this matter any thought whatsoever, it soon becomes apparent that the greatest asset in Freemasonry is the spirit of friendship that exists between Freemasons in their relationship with one another and their attitude of thoughtfulness for the welfare of others. For example, many years ago, the words Mason and friendship were often used synonymously. Our historical background supports this view. Dr. James Anderson, in his Constitutions of the Freemasons, published in 1723, reflected the traditional fundamental principles of the craft when he stated in the first charge that, quote, Masonry becomes the center of union and the means of conciliating true friendship among persons that must have remained at a perpetual distance, end quote. And in 1738 editions of the same book, the wording was changed slightly, but the meaning was the same when he stated, quote, thus Masonry is the center of their union and the happy means of conciliating persons that otherwise must have remained at a perpetual distance, end quote. This idea was not new with Anderson, since the idea of friendship prevailed in the ancient manuscripts which require the members to address themselves as brothers, attend to their religious duties, respect other members of the craft, and that all lodge members be considerate of each other both inside and outside the craft. There were also provisions that members help each other in finding employment or giving work to members seeking employment or to give them money to enable them to travel to the next place where employment might be available. Furthermore, when the Grand Lodge was formed in 1717 in London, the leaders adopted a non-sectarian rule and also prohibited the discussion of political matters in the lodge. These new rules were intended to eliminate friction and disharmony among the members and further promoted the idea of friendship, requiring a belief in God teaching that all men are brothers and that we should always be kind and charitable towards others, has created an atmosphere of harmony among the members and has promoted the development of warm and enduring friendships between the members of the craft. It has also encouraged our members to be good neighbors, good citizens, and to be loyal to the established government. There are many definitions of the word friend. It means one who is warm personal relationship with another person. It means a person who is ready to assist you in your plans. Many years ago, an English periodical had a contest and offered a prize to the person submitting the best definition for the word quote-unquote friend. Here are a few of the definitions which were sent to the publication. Quote, one who multiplies joys, divides grief, and whose honesty is inviolable. End quote. The next, quote, one who understands our silence. End quote. And another, quote, a watch which beats true and for all time and never runs down. End quote. And here is the definition that won first prize. Quote, a friend is the one who comes in when the whole world has gone out. End quote. Many years ago, my father stated to me that the most valuable thing anyone can have is to have a friend. But then he added that in order to have a friend, you must be a friend. On other occasions, he would say that a friend is worth more than 1,000 ducats. You will note that the idea is in the nature of a two-way street. Freemasonry, with its emphasis on the obligations we owe to others, exemplifies this idea of the value of friendship in the strongest way possible. What great persons have said about the subject of friends is of interest because the statements reveal a deep need for friends and the importance in the lives of the persons to make them happy. Aristotle, in his Nicomachean Ethics, said, quote, the perfect friendship is that between good men, alike in their virtues, end quote. Keats, the great English poet, compared friends to, quote, a beacon light guiding a ship into port on the dark misty night, end quote. Brother George Washington, in one of his letters, said, quote, actions, not words, are the true criterion of attachment of friends, end quote. And Thomas Jefferson said, quote, one gives meaningful expression to friendship only when he does something thoughtful, unselfish, or pleasantly surprising for the person he esteems, end quote. In a poetic mood, Oliver Wendell Holmes described friendship as the breathing rose with sweets in every fold. Seneca, the Roman savant, once said, friendship sweetens all of our cares and dispels our sorrows. Coleridge, the English poet, said, friendship is a sheltering tree. Sir Francis Bacon wrote that friendship redoubleth joys and cutteth griefs in half. And let us not forget the lesson exemplified in the 15th Scottish Rite degree of the Northern Masonic Jurisdiction: life without friends is worthless. The true value of friends cannot be underestimated. There is nothing worse than being alone or having the feeling that there is no one around that you can rely on for help or companionship. Nothing can be more depressing than the feeling that there is no one that cares about your welfare. On the positive side, the mere fact that one knows that he has friends is a comforting feeling, so that the possession of friends is an absolute necessity in life in order to be happy. I remember an old friend who was once a bachelor and had no close relatives. He lived in a rooming house where most of his fellow roomers were transients. Being a member of the craft opened up many opportunities for him to spend his time profitably. Rather than going to his room each evening after work, he managed to go to the lodge on each meeting night. He also, quote-unquote, adopted a number of other lodges within a reasonable distance and visited them regularly. Many of the members of those lodges saw him so regularly that they never realized that he was only a visitor and not a regular member of the lodge. He always pitched in when there was a need for workers, and he made himself useful. At these lodge meetings, he paid special attention to the reports about members, and he took notes. On nights that he was not attending lodge meetings, he visited sick members, offered to do things for them, and cheered them up with his presence. Thus, he was being a real friend toward his fellow members, and it gave him a genuine quote-unquote lift to feel that he was utilizing his time doing something worthwhile. This illustrates how Masonic friendship is a two-way street and that benefits result to everyone with these many contacts at meeting and with other relationships. I am also reminded of the member who came from a family in which he was an only child. He missed the usual activity within a family unit, where there are a number of brothers and sisters. When he joined the craft, he acquired a large number of brothers and acquired the feeling that he was no longer alone. To him, the word brother meant a great deal more than it did to the average member. Joining a craft was a deeply moving experience for him, for he realized that he had acquired an unspecific number of friends to whom he was bound by an obligation stronger than any physical binding could be. The member who becomes active in his Masonic lodge and engages in its work by necessity will be in contact constantly with other members who are also similarly engaged. Taking part in the meaningful and worthwhile projects with other good men creates camaraderie between them, which blossoms forth in an intangible and unexpressed respect by one person for another. Because of these projects, Freemasonry offers unlimited opportunity for the creation of warm and close friendships among its members. The Mason who does not regularly attend lodge meetings and also engages in some work for the lodge and its members misses one of the valuable assets which the lodge has to offer its members: the opportunity to make friends. Another element which contributes to the development of close friendships within the craft is the philosophy that Masons are taught to be charitable, and that this word is to be construed in its broadest sense. To the Mason, it means more than just giving alms. It means more than writing a check for a worthy cause. It means that you will go that extra mile to help another person in need of help beyond any call of duty. It means that you will listen to a brother's troubles as he seeks to unburden himself of his feeling or desire to talk things over with someone. It means to sympathize with a person who is in pain or in trouble and thereby help him to lighten the burden. The lesson of the faithful breast and the listening ear are always before us. Masons who join appendant bodies of the craft often do so in order to expand their Masonic contacts and to extend their charitable work, because these bodies always have such projects. When good men gather to accomplish something that will benefit the craft, its members, and the community, these types of associations are by necessity ones that cover long periods of time and require many hours of working together with good men to accomplish worthy goals. Such increased association is bound to develop mutual respect among members working together, which will develop into a warm friendship. When a Mason meets another Mason for the first time, he knows that the other person believes in God, and that he therefore believes that all men are brothers, and that as a result, he must be kind to other persons and help them in every possible way. Such knowledge is bound to bring the two persons closer together, for they instinctively realize that they have many beliefs in common. You know, without any express statement, that a spiritual tie exists between Masons, because you can expect honorable conduct from the new contact. For one who travels extensively, Masonic friendship manifests itself time and again. Whether it is visiting a Masonic lodge or attending a meeting of an appendant body, or in the marketplace, when you meet another Mason, you always feel a kinship with him. You always feel the door open with a welcome sign. This can be valuable if you are in a strange place. It becomes doubly valuable if you are in need of suggestions, advice, or help of some kind. You not only have a comfortable feeling because you know help is near, but there is also a feeling of trust and faith that is so valuable in all human relationships. Non-Masons often have observed that there exists between Masons an elusive something that creates a spirit of friendly relations between Masons. It is to be noted that strangers who meet and discover that both are members of the craft immediately feel kinship with each other. Masons recognize the mutual feeling and describe it as the tie that binds. But this general description mystifies and intrigues non-members. He notes the friendly feeling that exists between the members, though they may have just met, but he does not realize that when Masons meet for the first time, they instinctively feel a close relationship because of the unique teaching methods used in conferring the degrees, whereby certain obligations are assumed which bind Masons to a high moral code, which makes them better men on the spiritual and moral level. This valuable asset of Freemasonry too often is so obscure that few of our members are aware of it. We should call this to their attention. Having a large number of friends will make a person happier, a better person, and happy persons help make this a better place in which to live. This elusive element of Freemasonry is the most valuable asset that each of us has as a member of the craft, and it is also one of the most valuable assets of Freemasonry as an organization. All right, I hope you enjoyed that piece, again, by Brother Alphonse Sirza. Regardless on your feelings of why men join the fraternity, whether it is just for friendship or it's for that esoteric value, even as a esoteric Mason that I would consider myself, I do really value the friendships of the men that I've met. And largely that's because I have connected with those other Masons who are esoteric Masons, and even though I might connect with some Masons who aren't esoteric, we still get along. We still have that special bond, and I think that's just always going to be the case, and I know it's the case with all of you as well. It's a very interesting thing, this craft of ours. So next, I've got a cool piece by Brother Chris Streeper, and you may have heard me mention it in the show in the past that I posted his piece, but I only posted half of it on the Midnight Freemasons, and it was such a great piece that I had to get this thing more screen time for people to read. And because I thought it was such a cool piece, I'm going to read it here on the program. It's just really great. I think the message here is phenomenal, and I hope you guys all enjoy it. It's called The New Ghostbusters by Midnight Freemason guest contributor Brother Chris Streeper. Here we go. I know what you're thinking. I'm reading a blog about Freemasonry. What does the new Ghostbusters movie have to do with that? Much like anything esoteric, to the uninitiated it means absolutely nothing. However, an enlightened mind or trained observer can find within the film series some striking parallels. And although the new Ghostbusters movie has gender-swapped the roles of the main characters, I can promise you that there will be no mention of allowing females to become Freemasons. With this assurance, you can safely proceed. First, I must admit, I'm a Ghostbuster purist. Although I was a young child when I first saw the original Ghostbusters movie, I was enamored with it. I loved everything about it. The epic mythology Egon and Rey would share from Tobin's spirit guide, the fellowship the team had while sharing mediocre Chinese takeout within the hallowed halls, the symbolism of the temple hidden within a refrigerator, and of course, high-tech gadgets, Slimer, and the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man. My point is, I really liked my Ghostbusters the way it was back in 1984. 5 years later, Ghostbusters 2 was released. The nuts and bolts of the movie weren't vastly different from the first film, and it did pretty well at the box office. What viewers found at the beginning of the movie, however, was that 5 years into ghostbusting, the team had fallen on hard times. They really weren't into ghostbusting as much as they had been when they first formed the team and took up residence in an old firehouse. Rey and Winston were performing at children's birthday parties. Peter, the illustrious leader of the group, appeared to have split away from the group completely and was hosting his own cable TV show. Egon was the only Ghostbuster still actually dabbling in science of the paranormal. To defeat the villain, the team had to reassemble and examine not only themselves, but the inner workings and infrastructure of New York City. I'm not going to lie, watching the Statue of Liberty cross the Hudson to higher and higher was awesome. Sure, it was a pretty good flick, but it wasn't the original Ghostbusters. Today, we find ourselves with 32 years having passed since the 1984 release of the original film, and there is a new team of Ghostbusters which hit the theater and came out on video last month. Although there is a new director at the helm and the team is now entirely female, the cast of characters is still the same. Erin, who is Peter, is a kooky scientist who hides her true passion because she wants to be recognized as cooler than she appears. Abby, is Ray, is all in and not concerned with anything else but ghostbusting and studies everything she can to get her hands on about the subject. Jillian, Egon, is the foundational support of the group without whom nothing could be accomplished. And then there's Patty, Winston, the new initiate who doesn't really fit in and wouldn't understand the symbolism behind a Twinkie. The ladies don't operate out of a firehouse. They live atop a Chinese restaurant. They don't drive a 1959 Cadillac ambulance. It's now a beat-up old station wagon, but it's still a Cadillac. Although things seem to have downgraded a bit, the new team of Ghostbusters has a host of new tools at their disposal. An ectoplasmic power glove, a paranormal wood chipper, and the internet. Seriously, what would the 2016 Ghostbusters be without YouTube? Some of you may be thinking that I just wrote the worst movie review in history. Some of you might be seeing the bigger picture. If it hasn't become clear yet, let me break it down frame by frame. I didn't want to see the new Ghostbusters movie at all. In fact, I was adamantly opposed to going to the theater only to sink my money into what I knew would turn out to be nothing more than an abomination of a film I loved 32 years ago. My kids, however, caught a glimpse of the preview and were dying to see it. So I did what any dad would do. I took my kids to the movies. It was there that with a giant bowl of popcorn in my lap, sitting next to my sons, who are just about as old as I when I saw the first Ghostbusters film, that I had a startling revelation. This movie was pretty good. Sure, there were some parts I didn't like, such as the updated Ghostbusters I'm Not Afraid theme song performed by Fall Out Boy and Missy Elliott. Those things were few and far between. Overall, I found the movie to be an exciting, humorous, and faithful rendition of the original film. As a matter of fact, after watching it, I'd probably be willing to go see the sequel. Who would have thought? We are members of a legendary fraternity, which has a notable cast of characters. However, the modern craft seems to be a mere shadow of its former self. The Masonic Services Association, or the MSA, has conducted research, as have a host of other organizations and individuals, which show the craft to have been in a steady decline over the past 30-plus years. Oddly enough, there has been a recent uptick in the amount of men interested in Masonry. Sadly, while the research points to a surge in interest, it also shows a decline in membership. This decline often occurs not from a death of the senior members, but from the newly initiated dropping out and seeking fulfillment elsewhere, often within the first 5 years of joining. I won't go into the list of reasons cited by men who leave the craft, but trust me when I say it most often has to do with the stagnation and complacency within our fraternity. Innovation is a good thing, except it seems when you're a Freemason, which is silly because we are an organization which portrays itself as a progressive science. Needless to say, innovation is quite often debated within lodge rooms, ending with members too scared to try out a new idea because it, quote, wasn't the way we did it in my year. What those same members don't realize is that while the fraternity has been in decline, it was not them, but the advent of the internet which helped anyone interested about our fraternity to find out more, especially via the blogosphere on sites like Christopher Hodapp's Freemasonry for Dummies, and on YouTube, where the public discussions about the craft are held regularly by groups such as the Masonic Roundtable and the Prince Hall Think Tank. The internet has almost become the new door to the fraternity. Like it or not, Ghostbusters 2016 will always be compared to Ghostbusters 1984, and that's a mighty big shadow to get from under, no matter how talented the cast, the writers, or the director involved with it. One thing I found interesting about the new edition was that all of the original stars got behind the film. They helped promote it, they helped produce it, and they even had cameo appearances in the film. They didn't grumble about how the new Ghostbusters wasn't done the way they did it in 1984. they worked with the new team to produce a pretty amazing product. Sure, every single update to the franchise doesn't land successfully, but they do pay homage to the original film and the various elements contained within each are 100% Ghostbuster. The point I'm making is this. Much like the traditions of Freemasonry, the original Ghostbusters will always be something special to me. It was great, just the way it was. But my memory has attributed it with this legendary status, which causes me to remember it better than it actually was. I believe the same can be said of the fraternity. And although the fundamental tenets of Freemasonry have remained the same, each time we alter even a minor aspect of the craft, it becomes steeped in controversy. I believe that the same is true with the new Ghostbusters. Yes, the original was and still is something very special. The good news is that there's a whole new generation that's about to feel the same way about this version. With all that being said, the new Ghostbusters was pretty good. No, it wasn't the original, but it still felt familiar. I still enjoyed it. A lot, actually. I even felt like I got what I paid for. I did, however, walk out of the theater with this understanding. The modern version of the film would not have been nearly as successful without the involvement and support of the original cast members. It was not only their guidance, but the faith that they put in their successors which made the film as good as it is. It is honoring the past while embracing the future which makes the new Ghostbusters movie great. And that same concept can help Freemasonry the same way. You can take this for what it's worth, but I leave each generation of Masons with the following taglines. To the past masters and older generations of members, quote, "We're ready to believe you." To the newer members, including myself, quote, "I ain't afraid of no ghost, so I guess in our case, crossing the streams would be very, very good." Brother Chris Streeper. Brother Chris Streeper is a York Rite Mason and a member in Dickinson Lodge number 1324 AFNAM in Dickinson, Texas. He is an alumnus of Sigma Nu fraternity, a veteran of the United States Coast Guard, and a professional educator. Brother Chris, I just want to say thank you once again for that brilliant piece. I thoroughly enjoyed reading it, and I hope everybody out there listening loves it too. I think it'd be a great paper to present to a lodge, especially one that's got a dynamic of young and old Masons. And not just if they're not getting along. I think this is a great piece to read even if they are getting along, because it proves the whole idea works. We need the old to embrace us so that we can take their ideas and update them and push them forward and keep that momentum moving. It's a very important concept. With that, we're going to call it for this week. I hope you all enjoyed this episode. Again, please visit our show sponsors, MasonicRevival.com, and all of the rest of them, which are listed at WCYPodcast.com. Click on the Support the Show tab. And if you don't want to do any shopping like that, please do consider checking out our lapel pins, which are under the limited edition shop. Also in there are some money clips, some tie bars, and some cufflinks. I've got a few sets of each of those left. They have been selling pretty quick and are extremely limited. So if you want them, you've got to get them now. We'll be back next week with another great episode. Please check out the Midnight Freemasons, where we publish 3 articles every week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And if you like Masonic podcasts, and I know you do because you're listening to this one, consider checking out the Masonic Roundtable. It's another place where you can hear some great Masonic education and some great discussion, and even become a part of the show by live tweeting and following us on the Facebook event page while we're taping live every Tuesday night at 10/9 Central. With that, I hope you guys have an amazing week. I know I'm going to, because I'm going to dive into my brand new used copy of Albert Mackey's Lexicon of Freemasonry, which I am so stoked to check out. I have only thumbed through a few different versions of it in different lodges, but now I have my own, so I'm super excited. That's what I'm going to do this week. I hope you guys get your read on as well. Until next week, then, stay on the level. For Whence Came You? I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.